The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
I feel like deadlifting today.
Welcome to Mind Pump, where we rage against the fitness establishment.
Oh snap.
Was that a forum?
That was a forum. So we did a little contest on our private forum, only for cool people, if you want to get on there. Mindpumpmedia.com. But anyway, that's Adam Castro, one of our Mind Pump forum boys, who came up with that one. Yeah. Isn't that pretty cool?
There was a lot of them we couldn't even say, though.
Alex Home Pre-Offensive said, Mind Pump, teaching everyone to rock out with their cock out.
Yeah.
I like that one, but I think we've said that one before.
Right. We have.
Or Jessica Rose, raping your ears raw with fitness truth.
Yeah, that's...
Raping's not a good
thing to
do. A
little aggressive.
Yeah, we don't want to necessarily do that.
Yeah, we're not trying to promote raping.
Yeah.
right.
Justin wanted to open this one with sexy voice.
I did.
Has anybody ever heard... Oh, he's doing it right now.
Hey, guys. Let's get down to business.
God damn, that's uncomfortable. All right, that's enough now.
Does that
make you cringe?
It does. Is this what Courtney hears? Or what?
Right in her ear. I just pull the hair back a little bit.
What's your go-to, bro? When you're wanting it pretty bad from wifey. It's been a couple days.
I have so many tactics.
I want to know
where the fuck do I begin?
What's your go-to move to warm her up or to try and change her mind into it's time? I want to hear your go. Maybe you could help out some people that
there's a lot of fails, right? So okay. you can't just run in hard.
Yeah.
That's one. You got to be subtle. I've learned that.
What's the most recent success that you've had? Where she was like, not really.
I've gotten more creative these days with cleaning and all that. But, you know, what I'm saying? That's outside my comfort zone, but I'm willing to do it. Start with a little light massage. You know, that's a good little in first, and then it's like, I know what you're doing, so you got to change it up, so it's not the same move. You know what I'm saying? Maybe start a little bit in a different location. Or
it's complicated.
Yeah. Or you gotta
a Rubik's Cube.
You do a lot of complimenting, or you're like, let's go out. I'll take care of everything today. You know, there's a lot of different things you
gotta
do.
Fucking throw chicken bones. You just gotta, throw some salt
every
over
day
your
is different too. So you
just named two things, bro, that I did accidentally yesterday, and I definitely got a response from that.
Accidentally?
Yeah, accidentally. Well, I mean, the house cleaners came yesterday. Whenever the house is really clean, I feel like I'm very good at keeping the house clean. But when the house gets dirty, I'm one of those guys that's...
You're just like, fuck it.
Yeah, I do. I'm not going to lie. I'll be the first one. But if it's clean, I don't want to be the one to mess it up, right? So house cleaners came, house clean. So I did my dishes, right after I do. I don't want to be the first person to put a dish in the sink.
That's sexy.
Right? So and then when I pull up...
I do the dishes without my hands.
Katrina and I pulled up to the house at the same time yesterday.
Scrub in a circular fashion.
And she got out of the car, and I noticed when she was walking in front of me the house how great her ass looked. And I'm not one for compliments very often. Oh, and I complimented.
Generous.
Yeah, I complimented her on that.
But hold on, how did you compliment?
I said, "Damn, your ass looks good lately. What have you been doing?"
He goes right for the obvious.
Yeah, right.
No, see, the
she says she has a pretty good trainer.
Here's the key.
Yeah, exactly.
The key is he doesn't compliment ever.
That is the
which
key.
Increases the value of the random bullshit compliment.
Which we're getting to that part of the story. Because
I've learned this as well.
Then she walks in. She saw that the house was clean. Obviously, I didn't clean the house. House cleaners did. But she did notice that there was dishes in the dishwasher, which were mine. And she looked at me. She gave me a big old kiss. And she says, "Is everything okay with you?" And I said, "Yeah." And she's got a big smile on her face. She says, "Well, I just feel like you compliment me, and then you do the dishes." And
damn, you must be an asshole normally. You barely did anything.
Well, that's what I felt
it's
like.
True though. Like, yeah, you got to have some kind of like. Yeah, it can't be too much, too frequent.
Well,
then you turn that ushy-gushy dude.
I don't want to detour
girls
us.
Don't respect that guy.
On a topic or not, but I have to say that I've been told by many women that as a guy, you got to have a little bit of asshole.
A little bit of an edge.
You have to be little bit of an asshole, just a little bit, not a lot. And when I say an asshole,
it doesn't change either when you're married. You just gotta, you know.
Yeah, because especially if she wants a challenge, she's a strong, confident woman. You know what I'm saying? She doesn't want that guy. Everybody wants the guy who wants to do everything you want to do. Sit down and watch romantic movies and walk the beach for the first fucking 2 months. Everybody wants that guy because you just got done dating some super asshole. So you can't wait to get with this guy who takes you on all these long walks.
That's
and
a
says,
crazy superhero.
Says how pretty you are.
Super asshole.
Does all this stuff.
Super asshole.
Then you realize
Fuck
you're bored
you.
To death. Of that.
I'm out of here.
You miss a little bit of asshole. So you got to have a tiny bit. And that way, too, it makes you appreciate.
So what you do basically is you give compliments that are asshole-ish. Like, damn, baby, you look almost as hot as that girl I saw at the
gym. Exactly.
No,
exactly.
You
tell her like how many compliments you got that day.
You know, these are bad advices, right?
Like, baby, check it out. I almost banged this chick today, but I didn't. I was thinking about you.
You're number one.
Another great example of what not to do.
See, here's the deal.
That's super asshole.
Here's
that's
the deal.
A guy that just came in and then he just left.
That's super asshole. See, I can't.
Super asshole.
I can't do that because the minute I'm. If I'm being an asshole,
you strike me as an all or nothing guy too.
If I'm starting to act like an ass to you,
you're full on Twitter pated or you're full on dick.
That's the thing. If I'm already an asshole, it's too late now. Now it's too late.
Those are
this is
crazy
real
analogies.
This is I'm a real asshole when I'm an asshole, not a pretend one. So now it's like get the fuck out of my face. So I'll be a nice guy all the time. I like nice things. I like saying nice things, like compliments, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But then
you mix it up with, you know, violent, really violent, horrible, illegal sex.
Sex? Oh.
Yeah. That kind of mixes it up, right? Because they always wonder, like, this guy's a little crazy.
Yeah, he's really sweet, but then he beats me.
I mean, I like it, but it's kind of scary.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Captain 50 Shades over here, huh?
I don't get violent.
Yeah, it's, totally.
Whips and chains excite me.
I never leave a mark.
You know, I wonder who is more... This is why we still are due to bring the women on the show one day, because I feel like I think I'm the bigger dick, but sometimes I hear Justin say some shit. I'm like, maybe
you are the bigger dick.
You think so?
But I have the bigger
see,
dick.
See, I just don't. Yeah. You say it very.
What do you think? Do you think who do you think's the bigger asshole out of Justin and myself?
Between you two? Oh, yeah, you're the asshole.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you are.
I'm very nice. I'm a very
Justin's
nice guy.
Justin's a nice guy, dude.
Yeah.
I hate
to admit it.
I'm a lover. Once I become an asshole, it's too fucking late. You lost. I don't like you anymore. There's no game. I don't play games.
But here's the thing. I see the assholeness stuff that works, and then I'll try and like experiment with it, and it backfires.
Because you don't have the natural.
Keep trying to do that.
You don't
though.
Have the natural gifts. Like, son of a bitch, Adam just said this word for him the other day.
What was that? And I'm like writing notes. Yeah.
No, I think I have a sweet side too. I just don't have as much of a sweet side as Sal does.
I think it makes sense because look, here's the deal: when you're dieting for a long fucking time, and then like you eat like I don't know, you eat something that's got like a little bit of sweetness to it. Like you haven't had sugar for years, and you're like, oh my god, this fucking strawberry is the most delicious. That's Adam. Adam is usually a jerk.
He starves you of all the sweetness,
and then he throws in this comment like, hey, nice ass. And it's like,
I gotta be careful.
That tastes great.
I'm just kidding.
I'm really a nice guy.
No, you are. You are. Yeah. You are a nice guy. You treat us nicely.
It's just how we talk about
he
you.
He does.
On the
he
show.
Gives us compliments all the time.
What?
Who?
Shh. It's here.
Oh, it is.
Quack, 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 quack.
What the fuck was that?
That's the Godfather.
I thought we got rid of the quack.
We should have done quah, 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 quah.
Doug said it's
quah,
over, bro.
What do you mean?
Doug said it's canceled.
What's canceled?
No more quah.
Quah, quah, quah.
There's no more quahing?
It's canceled.
So oh, I thought we
just became a
queen quah.
Oh, the queen quah.
It was the queen quah.
Yeah. Oh,
no,
so
I did the song. Quah, 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 quah. It's the fucking Godfather.
Oh.
All right, I'll try a different one.
Yeah, that was another fail.
It sounded too much like queef. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, that was...
Yeah, that was more
another fail, dude.
Borderline. Doug, do you know what a queef is?
Yeah. Sounds like it's...
Yes, I believe I do.
Okay, that's
Adam's a lot more aggressive with it. That is more,
that's a little bit too much queef for me.
What the fuck is going on today?
I don't know. There's something in the air.
Ladies and gentlemen, if this is your first time listening to Mind Pump, we are a fitness show.
We are.
We're about to get into some fitness.
It just got weird there.
We're about to fitness queef.
Got weird, Doug. Help us.
Got very weird.
Thank God. Yeah, thank God we know a little bit about fitness to carry on.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Bring it home.
Our first question today is from DWG Fitness, who is asking about carpal tunnel. What can this person do about it?
Now, is it possible we actually just put queef and carpal tunnel within first two? Within
we did. We did. Let's get serious now. We have to get serious now.
Wow, that is like, I don't know if my brain could switch that fast, bro.
I'm already there, bro.
Yeah. Well,
I'm over here right now.
They both make a sound.
And now we're talking about carpal tunnel.
All right, let's talk about real carpal tunnel syndrome. There's a nerve that travels through the wrist called the median nerve, and it gets compressed sometimes through inflammation or positioning or poor muscle recruitment patterns. It moves through a canal called the carpal tunnel.
What would you say is the most common out of those you just listed right now, though? Because I'm curious personally.
Okay, so here's the deal. If you're pregnant or you have like rheumatoid arthritis or something like that, it's inflammation. If you're just an average person and you're, you know, have a desk job and you start to get carpal tunnel, it's positioning and muscle recruitment patterns. But here's the deal. I have a lot of experience with carpal tunnel. I've had quite a few clients being in Silicon Valley. Everybody works at desk and computers. I get it all the time. And here's where the physical therapists focus their energy. They focus their energy on the wrists and the muscles of the forearms and the hand. Mm-hmm. And rightly so, right? Those are the more immediate muscles that can cause, you know, the wrist to move in positions that may compress the median nerve more. Here's what I've found, and I've observed this on almost every single person that's ever had carpal tunnel that's come to me, and that's that shoulder function contributes to carpal tunnel syndrome. Mm-hmm. Because if you have a dysfunctional shoulder, it travels all the way down the hand and the arm. And how it moves. And the reverse is also true. You'll see people with carpal tunnel syndrome who will get a tight upper trapezius and tight neck and have forward shoulder. So what I've done with clients that's been very successful, aside from the standard, you know, deep tissue massage of the, you know, brachioradialis and the forearm flexors, especially near the elbow joint, I'll do lots of massage there and stretching, and then I'll do like gripping, strengthening exercises with the hand. Is I will also do deep tissue work on the upper trapezius, and then I'll work on scapular retraction and depression with exercises. And I found tremendous success. Off the top of my head, I have three people who were going to schedule carpal tunnel syndrome who came to me, and within a few months, no longer went to get the surgery.
So you're bringing it back all the way up to the shoulder joint, really, yes. to bypass it, so it doesn't stop there at the elbow,
no,
which causes more of that stress. That one video, and I think I posted on the forum, and Adam also went through
money
and
for your extended
one of the best. One of the best stretches as far as stretching everything you mentioned as far as like deep tissue and definitely strengthening the recruitment pattern back to the shoulder blade and the scapula. But like this stretch really, really has helped not only with myself, but also my clients that suffer with that particular issue. So
can you explain the stretch? Which one are you talking
about?
Is it the one that Adam was doing?
Yes, the
pronator terrace. Like it's like a... If you've ever seen like a military where they have like a rifle and they're flipping it, you're basically flipping the stick upside down, and then your wrist is facing completely the opposite direction.
So it's totally pronated, twist around.
Totally pronated. And then I'm trying to roll that even further, and then I'm pulling it closer into my body as it's extending away from me. So I'm getting length, and I'm also getting tension and pulling.
You're also getting some rotator.
Rotation, yeah, exactly.
You know what, Justin, if you don't mind, right before this airs, why don't we put that up on the Mind Pump Instagram page?
Okay.
So, because we already had a demo of it, I think.
Yeah, I shot the video already that's on. We posted it on the forum, right?
Forum, yeah.
It's on the forum. Put it on the Instagram. And they can find us at Instagram at Mind Pump Radio. And then we'll have it right there. So if you're listening, you have carpal tunnel. This is actually it's a great stretch.
Hands down go-to for me. That's I didn't have much to contribute to this, and you guys both kind of stole what I would have mentioned.
Oh.
That stretch, I think, has done wonders for myself personally and any client that has had carpal tunnel. And then... Sal said something that I want to kind of reiterate is the whole shoulder. And I think that is probably one of the most overlooked things as a trainer is learning to do this with, and this is just, this is carpal tunnel we're talking about, but this applies to everywhere else in the body. Typically, you want to go more medial to the body, whatever. So let's say I've got ankle issues or foot mm-hmm. issues. You know, everybody starts looking at the ankle and the foot and your calf and everything that's close by. But a lot of times it's stemming from your hips, you know, mm-hmm. and same thing goes with your wrist issues, elbow issues, forearm stuff going on. A lot of that's going to stem from the shoulder. So going medial to the big joints that are multifaceted, that are moving in different planes other than just one simple hinging movement, typically are the main root cause of what's causing a lot of that stuff. And if you start to address that in conjunction with some good stretches and mobility work, like we're talking about with what Justin's saying right now, but I think the opening, fixing the shoulder issue ends up, for me at least, 9 times out of 10, that has been the main thing that has actually been bothering.
It's groundbreaking. It was a groundbreaking moment for me to realize this years ago. I had an exceptional physical therapist that I worked with for years. I learned quite a bit from her. And then there was a massage therapist that I worked with as well. Actually, she's on our forum. Her name's Devin Crane. And both of them understood this very, very well. And they would get clients who would have these issues. And they would always look towards the bigger joints, more towards the center line of the body. And lo and behold, people were getting tremendous results. And you can even try this yourself. Look, if you have, you know, have someone press on the top of your traps, press down. You'll feel that all the way down your arm many times, especially if you're really tight. And nerves communicate to each other. So when you have some impingement, you know, up near the neck, it can many times affect impingement lower down the arm. Is there science to support this? Maybe there might be, but I can tell you from personal experience, I've had tremendous success. I specifically remember one lady who came in. She had carpal tunnel surgery scheduled, or she was going to schedule it. So for like 3 months from then. But she wanted to come see me first. And all I did in one workout was I did sets of cable rows with her, working on scapular retraction and depression. And then in between sets, I used my elbow to press down into her trap to kind of loosen that up and get her shoulders to fall back. And by the end of the workout, her wrist had felt 50% better. She told me specifically 50% better. And this was a problem that she'd been running into for years. So I've seen this quite a bit. Of course, if you have, you know, systemic inflammation and that's causing carpal tunnel, you probably hurt in other parts of your body as well. And if that's the case, then diet plays a bigger role than anything we're talking about. And at that point, I typically recommend people to remove sugar, processed foods, mm-hmm. and then sometimes grains out of their diet, and then they'll get relief from right. anti-inflammatory.
Yeah. Another great move that Justin actually taught me that is really good for this is the he called them shoulder rolls, and I was looking them up, and yoga uses a move very similar, and it's like a needle pull through. I think they call them a needle sew or a needle pull through, where you're reaching through the opposite side, and then your hands, you're actually putting them in a pronated position and with the shoulder, and then dropping the shoulder down. So mm-hmm. good stretch all the way from the shoulder all the way down into the forearms. So that's a great little mobility move to incorporate in there also to help mm-hmm. out with that.
And as far as the surgery is concerned, if you're familiar with the surgery, I mean, they go in there and they cut things to try and alleviate pressure. And I'm not a surgeon. I'm not a doctor. But I have looked at some of the numbers resulting in carpal tunnel syndrome, and the success rate isn't awesome. There's definitely some success with it, but there's a lot of people that will get this and then not have tons of relief from it. It's almost like back surgery, you know.
Well, right? you're not solving the root cause, yeah. right? You know, you're trying to crutch something again. Yeah. So
and if you can avoid surgery, this is true for any surgery you're going to get. If you can avoid it through proper exercise and nutrition. Yeah. You're going to be so
That's
much better
the way
off.
To go.
Richard Sowerby is asking the difference between starting weight training at 16 compared to starting it at 22.
This is really good. Okay, so here's the deal.
Was asking a lot too. Like it was a little bit longer question. He was referring kind of he knows he's a Mind Pump listener, like the hormonal benefits of somebody who's going through the ages of 16 and like 19 years old, and the spike in testosterone at that time in his life. You know, how much is that going to hinder his progress? How much further along is the person who started at 16 versus 22? What our thoughts were on that?
Well, here's the deal. You'll learn your body and really start to get good control of your body if you start at 16, because your body's going to grow so fast, and weight training along with it properly will help you acclimate to your new body as your body develops. So one of the reasons why older men tend to be harder to, you know, wrestle or stronger than younger men is because older guys have been in their bodies longer, and so they just have better control. If you lift weights properly at 16, you'll start to develop that at sooner at a younger age. So it's really good. But there is some science to working out long for years and years and contributing to something called muscle hyperplasia. And it's observed in animals, and we speculate that it probably happens in humans as well. And this is where muscle fibers actually, you actually develop new muscle fibers. A muscle fiber will split and you'll have two muscle fibers instead of one. And this happens through repeated, frequent, and long-term exposure to resistance. So if you start at 16 and you do it properly and you go up to the age of 30 versus if you were to do it at 22 and go up to the age of 30, you likely are going to be better off, and you'll probably have more muscle fibers to work with at that point. I know now I can build muscle faster than I could at 17 and 18 because of course I know how to work out better and stuff like that, but my body responds a little better. And I think that some of that hyperplasia has occurred. Here's something interesting. So my calves are very notorious for a lot of people to develop. And I'm not special. My calves are very, very hard to develop. I work them all the time. And what little calves I have, I've built out of nothing. However, my left calf is a little bit bigger than my right. And I've been trying as hard as I can to balance them out, but it's just always bigger. And when I was 14 years old, I had dislocated my left kneecap. And so I had to wear this long leg brace that prevented me from bending my knee. And so when I'd walk around, I could bend my right leg, but my left leg, all I could do on my left leg is push off with my foot. And so I was doing calf raises all the time on my left leg walking around. Well, I would venture to say that some muscle hyperplasia happened in that left calf because it just responds much better than my right because of that. Can I ever make that up? I don't know. But especially at the age of 16, when your body's, you know, trying to grow anyway, you probably get some benefit. Now, the detriment is chance of injury. You're not as coordinated. You get away with a lot of shit.
I was going to say, well, that's interesting. Yeah, I would, like, you bringing it to like hyperplasia. I would think, you know, the way that I would describe it before was just that you had a different like priority as far as, you know, maybe stepping off or like a specific sequence of patterns over the years, like over and over and over again, where you're actually probably using it, you know, more frequently, just as far as like a priority of your step off tool.
Yeah, I would lean that way too. I also, you know, talking about the drawbacks of a 16-year-old, you know, a 16-year-old with your 22-year-old mind right now versus a 16-year-old with your 16-year-old mind are two different things too. So Keeping that into perspective, when I was lifting weights, so I started at around 18 or so when I first started. I look at the first 18 to 21-ish to 22-ish as fucking spinning my wheels, really not really with playing around with weights, to be honest with you, because I had no clue what I was doing. I thought I knew what I was doing. I barely was getting form down and understanding the importance of that, or even knowing true biomechanics. So, you know, the knowledge base that you have at that age, it could be very minimal in comparison to you at 22. So that it's hard to say. Now, if you're 16 and you happen to be someone who's 16 years old, you're listening to Mind Pump and you've listened to everything and you've gone through programs and you've learned a lot. Yeah, absolutely. That kid who's training that way at 16 years old is going to see some huge benefits.
It's true. It has to follow that, you know, right way to train pattern.
Right.
To be successful with it. And I started at 16, you know, come to think of it. And, you know, I remember seeing the most visible gains in that period between 16 and 18 years old. I was on a pretty rigorous schedule that was dictated by the coaches. We would meet at 6 a.m. and we would, you know, do heavy squats, heavy power cleans, heavy bench. And it was all just like, you know, four or five different lifts that we just focused on and just mastered. And, you know, I thinking back to it, on top of that, and just having a little bit of an excess of calories, like, man, boom, like just my body just responded immediately to it. And I grew. And then after that, I've never seen that kind of growth again because I didn't have all those factors, you know, playing out for me.
You're also, I'd say between the three of us, you're probably the easiest gainer. Yeah. I'd say between, you know, the three of us, you started out and you gained right away. We were both
Yeah.
That's true. Skin and bones when we started off.
Yeah, I can't say. It took me a long time before I really, really started to notice any sort of major gains.
Well, I think it's also, you got to be clear too, though, that I don't care how old you are, what age you are, your body has a capability to adapt to exercise. By the way, 22 is young as hell too. So don't get me. It's not like, oh, fuck, you're old now. You've missed your peak.
It out, bro.
No, the progress that your body will make at any age with resistance training is extremely impressive. And whatever age you're at will blow away your peers if they're not fit. Resistance training has an amazing ability to get the body to adapt and to change from a hormonal level all the way to the cellular level. And so it doesn't matter what age you're at. You start lifting weights properly, you're going to get stronger and build muscle. And there's lots of factors that factor into that. But I train people in their 70s, and I get them so much stronger than they were when they first saw me within a matter of 6 months.
Well, I would venture to say this, and you guys can debate this if you disagree, is Richard at 16 years old, who is, doesn't really know much about what he's doing, is racing to 25 years old to get the best body he possibly can. And then Richard, the other Richard, starts at 22 years old, and the race is who can get the best physique by 25. And Richard at 22 is, following maps. He listens to Mind Pump. He knows what he's doing inside the gym. And he's racing the other Richard, who's kind of figuring it out along on his own. Even though he's got himself a 6-year head start on him, I guarantee what you do in the next 3 years, following a good protocol as far as how you should train the body, how you should feed the body, will surpass somebody who's kind of floundering around in the gym, even though they have more years, more time under the iron.
Well, yeah, because now you're working with your body, which is everything we sort of talk about and what we try and steer you towards. Because, as like you said, like, we could have been doing this aimlessly and making your body so it's fighting against your body. And so now, you have to go through these periods of recovery that may be a lot longer, just to get you back on track.
The reason why I wanted to reiterate that too is that I personally, my big gains didn't happen until I was in my mid-20s. So even though I was lifting back 17, 18 years old, I really saw my big gains at, 24-ish, 25-ish, again, at like 27, 28-ish. And then even this last time, in getting ready for competing and stuff in my 30s, those were big milestones for me where I saw like huge changes in my physique. And most of that came from just applied knowledge, because I've been doing this for so long. Plus, I had the background, and I started to, realize the importance of certain things. I mean, shit, the first few years of me, I was completely eating wrong. I was completely training wrong. A lot of the stuff that I was doing, I was getting in the gym, I was working out. Maybe I figured the form out and some basic stuff down, but what I know now and the knowledge I have now, I can move and change my body in so much faster than what I could years and years ago when I first started.
I wish I could have got a hold of my 16-year-old self.
Of course. Yeah.
It would have been awesome.
Modern Day Dads is asking about smelling salts. How do they work, and are they dangerous?
Modern Day Dad's great. He's on the forum also. You got to check him out on Instagram. He's got a nice page on there. Smelling salts. Have you guys ever used smelling salts?
I have.
Yes.
Dude, the first time I was exposed to smelling salts.
I got a funny first time.
I was managing, I was managing one of the clubs. I think it was Hillsdale, one of the 24 fitness gyms. And we had smelling salts in the first aid kits. And you're supposed to use them in case somebody's like passed out or whatever. Yeah. So I saw them and I'm like, and of course, I don't give a fuck. I can talk about this now. So I saw them and I was like, I've never smelled a smelling salt. And these are the generic ones that you smash in between your fingers. Uh-huh. Like, you crack them and then boom, the smell comes out. So I took it out. I could see it and it says press here. So I pushed it and I'm like, it's kind of far away from me. So I'm like, I can't smell anything. I put it up to my nose. I swear to God, dude, it knocked me on my fucking ass. I was like, boom, poof. The first time you smell, you're like, Jesus, yes, I took a big ass whiff of that shit.
Oh, yeah.
So then I had a freaking field day with these things. I would buy a box of them. And then whenever I'd have my sales guys make phone calls, if I noticed that they were bullshitting or whatever, not making phone calls,
you'd go behind them and snap.
Yes, I'd crack one. I'd go behind them and I'd cover their mouth and their face with it.
Oh, my God.
That's awesome, dude.
We would die of laughter.
Oh, yeah.
And then later on.
This transitions into, let's talk about the dangerous parts of.
Exactly. Head bleeding.
Yeah. Brain damage. Could cause cancer.
Yeah. I stuck it up his nose and taped his nose shut. And he's dead.
Eye explosions.
And so then later on, I knew that, I'd found out that lifters would use them before heavy lifts. And so I've used smelling salts a couple times before PRs. And what you do is you get ready for your PR. Mm-hmm. You wave the smelling salt under your nose. And by the way, if you've never smelled a smelling salt, be very fucking careful. Don't Jones, just bring it up to your nose and take a whiff of that thing. Literally, gently wave it under and just get a taste of what you're about to smell, because it'll knock you the hell out. So I take a big whiff and then you do your lift. And the science behind smelling salts is there's actually some science supporting them. They get the central nervous system amped a little bit. They cause a sympathetic response. Your heart rate goes up.
Yeah.
Blood pressure goes up, and it kind of psychs you up a little bit. Before your heavy lift. They can't lose their effect if you use them too frequently. I know that. Have you guys ever tried Nose Torque?
Is that a brand?
I'm not sure.
That's like the
bottle, right?
That's like the legit powerlifting
bottle one,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
so
I don't know what
that was.
Ben, one of these trainers in my gym, he had it, and I was bench pressing, and I kept going up, and I was like, I feel good today. And he's like, let's PR. And so he just like took his hands, and he's like, here. And then I smelled it, and then was instantly like, my eyes were like huge, and I was like seeing into the future. No. And then boom, nailed it. It was just it was just that clarity. I just felt like I blocked everything out, and it was like everything was so heightened. It was crazy.
Well, I was dying laughing listening to Sal talk about, you know, be careful, because
yeah,
my first experience was this is what happened. So I used to see this guy. I can't even think of his name right now. But he used to squat on similar days. You know, the guy at the gym who's always squatting next to you at the same time. Same,
yeah,
you know
what I'm saying? He'd give him a fist bump.
Yeah, exactly. We see each other all the time. Yeah. And, he was lifting heavy a lot. And, you know, I saw him using it one day. And he asked me if I'd ever used him before. And I said, no, I've never tried it. I wanted to try it. I said, maybe on one of my days where I'm peeing. He's like, yeah, just let me know. I've always got it in my bag. I'll let you try it. You know, and I'm watching him sniff it, get ready to go, and see him lifting. And so like the next time he comes in, I'm getting ready to PR, and you know, he brings it over to me. He says, you know, be careful, it's a brand new bottle.
Oh, and yeah, brand new.
And all I can remember is watching him the day before sniff it, which was probably an older bottle.
They all like
right?
Hopping it hard.
So yeah, I think I remember watching him smell it in. And it's not like I went through some training protocol on how to do this. I just, you know, I was gonna smell it, right? And I wasn't thinking I was going to smell very hard. I just want to put it on my nose. But you really just wave it under your nose. You don't even have to smell. Yeah. You don't want to try and smell.
You don't want to get close.
Because if you do what I did, which was, you know, try and smell it, I literally like almost passed out, dude. I fell back. I took a step back, and eyes instantly started watering right away.
Oh, man.
But and my adrenaline was through the roof, dude. Yeah. Oh, my God. Got underneath there and smashed it. So I was a huge fan. But then I haven't really messed with it too much since then, because like modern day dad's question, that was like the next day. I thought, like, wow, I wonder how good this is for my brain.
Yeah, exactly. I thought the same thing. It's kind of the same thing after I did like one of those stupid CrossFit workouts. Like that killed. Like, is that good for me?
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know how safe. I need to look that up. I think, see, because now all these kids are listening to us right
exactly.
now. I'm going to go try some smoke.
That's what I was thinking.
I don't know how it works in terms of getting you amped up. Part of it may be that it's just irritating the fuck out of your nose. It's not like a drug. It wears off real quick.
Right.
It's not like you smell it and then you're like, boom, yeah, I'm on this drug. No, it's just, it's because you get
it's very
shocked.
It's very short-lived.
It's because you get shocked. I'll relate it to? It would be like if Adam's getting ready to squat and I just fucking out of nowhere slap the fuck out of him.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were saying you just farted and it was
and that's actually that's horrible. Well, there's definitely science behind all of this. I mean, we've talked a little bit about this before, of like certain music that you play and stuff like that. Right. It gets you amped up, and you know, someone slapping you on the back right before gets you fired up like that. So I mean, this is like the ultimate slap. I mean, it really is.
It's like
ultimate,
a slap. Yeah, it gets you kind of in that same zone.
That's a good analogy.
It's like raging against the machine. Yeah. You've got, you know what I'm saying, you've got your favorite bodybuilder or powerlifter guy behind you slapping you on the back. You're amped, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
Pantera. Yeah.
I don't know how much it contributes to heavy lifts, though. That would be an interesting study to see how much it helps. I know for me, I haven't used the smelling salt in years, and I'm hitting PR still. But in the past, I would, every time I do a PR, I do it. It became part of my ritual. Then it kind of lost its effect and really get me excited like it used to. So I think it's got to be kind of a surprise. Maybe have your friend sneak up behind you and do what I did. My
stupid
surprise, motherfucker.
Lexa, 88.6. Is it possible to fall in love with someone who doesn't lift?
No.
Nope. Adam wanted this one.
I did. You know what, though? It's actually a good topic, I think. Because I know for sure you guys have.
How many? I dated a girl that didn't do any like physical activity, and that did not last long.
Well, and tell me how many clients, okay? Check this out. How many clients have you had that you got, and they're in their 40s or their 50s or whatever, and they finally decided that they need to change their life, and health and fitness has never been a part of it, and you changed their life. You changed it, but then their partner is at wants no part of it, and how much friction does that cause?
There's statistics of that.
Yep.
There's actual statistics to where if you have a couple, both of them are out of shape, one of them gets in shape, the divorce rate skyrockets. They know these statistics specifically for people with who go get gastric bypass, because when you go get gastric bypass and you need to lose 100+ pounds, one of the things that they talk to you about is this, is, you know, is your partner also obese? And here's what you're going to have to deal with when you start to change your body. For a number of different reasons. One, you know, your partner may view it as a threat. You are no longer the person that they thought you were. Even though it's a good thing, it challenges the relationship. It challenges them. You know, number two, your value, your subjective value increases. And I hate to say this, but if you're with someone and you're with a partner and your value dramatically increases, you start to question the value of that relationship. And it's just... it's just true. When they have couples that get, like when you have husband and wife get married, and then, you know, they have statistics on this, and then the wife will go and get real, become real successful. Divorce rate goes up also. She start looking, her value started, you know, kind of went up. So that's one of those things. But for me personally, you know, weight training, resistance training, exercise is such a big part of my life. And I find health so important that I would just find the opposite unattractive. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like someone who didn't care about their health to me is like, well,
yeah,
I don't know. You're not that attractive anymore.
Well, it's also I didn't check or look at who's asking the question. I mean, she could be younger, especially if 88 stands for the year she was born.
It could be her age.
Yeah, well, she could be 88.
I don't think so.
Yeah, she could be 88. I wonder if we have any 88-year-olds.
Foxy grandma.
Huh?
I wonder if we have any. If we have any 88-year-olds that listen to us, please send Doug an email, and I will send you a free shirt.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
I'm going to send all 88-year-olds a free shirt.
The oldest
silver package.
The oldest person to send Doug an email will get a free shirt.
I think that's a great idea.
Whoever the oldest person.
Yeah, whoever sends Doug an email. Yeah, the oldest person we're going to give
with your birth certificate. We don't need any posers.
Yeah, that's true.
Your AARP card.
Yeah, there you go. Your AARP card will work just fine.
Yeah.
You got to be over 55 to even know what the fuck that joke means.
I'm taking you to Denny's.
So, no, If you're in your early 20s or mid 20s even, and this is when I definitely dated several girls that weren't hardcore into fitness, even when I was a personal trainer, because, you know, a lot of girls at 23 years old can still eat McDonald's and not go to the gym and still look sexy as hell. So there's
it's true.
It was so
you don't sound like a pervert.
Yeah, well, you don't realize you don't realize this until you start to get older, and so you start to date women that are 25, 27, then 30, and then 35, and they get older, and you realize like
old women,
older. I said I didn't say old women. I said older. 35 is older than 25. The last time I checked.
Okay.
So as you start dating older women than 25-year-olds, you start to realize that
they're all older at that point.
The women that are in their 30s that are in good shape are no longer there naturally. You're not 30 years old and a very fit woman naturally.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like you have put work in a time. Even in
same thing for guys.
And so, you know, exactly. Same thing for guys. And somebody might be listening to that and arguing the point because they're like, oh, I have a girlfriend. She's never been to the gym before and she's super, yeah, but she's skinny fat. You know what I'm saying? Your girlfriend that looks all skinny rails right, and everyone talks about, and she never works out or with that. I'll tell you right now, she's in her 30s. She may not have any fat on her body, but she ain't got no muscle either. And I guarantee if you touch her, she's soft as shit.
Yeah.
So, and that's not attractive either. So,
it's got a nice doughy texture.
By the time somebody, once a woman or a male for that matter, is past that 25 to 30 year old mark, and you know, then you start noticing how more important that becomes,
dude. Because all my
if you are a health and fitness person, you know this is a long the rest of your life journey, and you know they've got to be on board with that.
Dude, all my friends that I went to high school with, and that maybe you know hung out a little bit afterwards, who were those guys that were they didn't lift, but they all had six packs, right? Because they were just you know because you're 19 years old, you're a dude, and you're relatively active. You skateboard or whatever. They all have these massive beer bellies now.
I know.
And they just don't look.
It's kind of depressing, dude. It's sad. Noticed the same thing, you know, college or high school people I knew. Like, it's an epidemic.
Yeah, it'll hit you. And for me, it's just a health perspective. Because I've seen people who, there's women that are heavier and, you know, kind of curvier or whatever, but they're also fit and healthy, mm-hmm. and they're just attractive. Like, poor health is not attractive,
exactly,
man.
You can tell, though. You can tell somebody that's in good health. Doesn't matter if they're, you know, they got a little more extra pounds or whatever, but they're healthy.
Yeah.
So there's a big difference.
We like the healthy cakes.
We like them healthy and shiny. I don't know. The shiny part, maybe not.
Okay.
Alex Felix is asking about your one weapon of choice if there was a zombie apocalypse.
Oh, that's easy.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Shotgun.
Oh, well, just...
And
just you're going to run out of ammo, so...
Just a standard shotgun?
Okay, well, so...
Big-ass machete.
Wait, okay, so we're
going to... And a lightsaber.
Okay, so we're talking about your limited ammo, limited whatever, right?
Unlimited, you said.
If it's unlimited, fuck, yeah, you take a gun all day long.
Yeah.
But if there's limited...
Did you say a machete?
Yeah.
Damn, bro. No. This guy hella gangster.
Bro, you got to cut the brain, dude.
I was thinking of saving ammo.
You got to cut the brain.
These guys all being conservative at the same time.
Cut heads off.
I would use it. I mean, if it was just a weapon that didn't run out of ammo, I would want like a spear with a long like metal rod at the end of it. Because what you want to puncture the skull and penetrate
right
the brain,
the eye hole,
the brain. Yeah. So it's just because I would imagine with the machete, it would be hard to get to the brain.
It's gonna be a lot of blood and it's gonna be messy.
Have you guys ever dissected a cadaver?
Yes.
You have?
Uh-huh.
Did you? I mean, the head is kind of... Like,
yeah, it's... Yeah.
It's a little hard,
it's
right?
Hard.
You yeah. did that, you
it's
did
hard.
You did
that
in college?
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow. I killed a zombie, but I haven't done that.
got that on me.
Yeah, I got that. Have you seen those... I think it's called a D12. I think it's a D12. And somebody on... I'm sure somebody will correct me right away when they hear this episode. It's probably not called that.
That's like Eminem's band.
It's the... Yeah, maybe that's right. Or a shoe. It's the automatic shotgun.
Oh, I've seen that.
Oh, bro. They call it a street sweeper.
Ooh.
Bro, and
sweeper.
It's called a street
Very
sweeper.
Eloquent.
Oh, bro, it's so bad. It's
gentleman's tool.
It's the 12 gauge, and then it has a cylinder, and it's fully automatic.
Like a little minigun that has a revolver.
It's a fully automatic 12 gauge that I can't remember how many. Oh, it's watch the video on it. Well, after we're offline here, we'll pull that video up.
I've seen that before. Do you go on the YouTube videos? The Russian, what's his name? He calls himself the Russian. This guy takes all these
different
guns.
Oh, yeah, all the guns, and he chests them out.
So he had one of those automatic shotguns, and he just cuts a door in half. He's like, this is how you get through a door with this, and he's dut, and it just fucking cuts
just
it.
Saws right there.
And tell me you would not want that for a zombie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, if I could have a gun, come on, man, take a shotgun.
And that's the gun right there, right? Yeah. Fully automatic, 12-gauge. Oh, man.
What kind of
strap up.
What kind of shot would you put in it?
What kind of shot?
Yeah, in the shotgun. Would you use a slug, or would you use a...
Oh, spread.
Yeah. Double op, buck.
Yeah, no, we're definitely buckshot because you're trying to
cover the bases.
Yeah, zombies come in groups, dude.
Yeah.
Nah, right. They come get you with 15, 20 of their other dead friends.
I mean, can we use fictional?
Blanket it.
Can we use fictional weapons too? Or does it have to be real weapons?
Well, we're dealing with a real problem here, so we should probably have real weapons.
Like Halo weapons and shit?
No, like a lightsaber or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I already said that. I'm all over
that's
that.
Close encounter stuff. To get out of
I'm
here.
Getting the Inquisitor one because you can hold it in the middle and it spins. Have you seen that on the cartoon?
I bet you would shit yourself if a zombie got that close.
Fuck no.
So would you?
Yeah,
that's why
would you fucking laugh?
No, that's why I'm shooting them from far away. You guys are crazy. All these hand weapons.
Would you be able? Let me ask you this: if I right now,
I've just been watching a lot of Walking Dead.
If we're talking, you have no idea what's going on, and all of a sudden I start demonstrating the signs of a classic zombie. But this is real life, right? So you're not thinking zombie, but I'm demonstrating the signs like that you would see in a movie.
Okay.
Would you have the balls?
Explain the signs.
Would you have the I'm gonna try to fucking eat you right now, and you're like at first you think I'm joking, but then you're like, holy shit, this is real.
Yeah.
Would you have the balls to kill me by sticking something inside my brain? Be honest.
If you look like you're going to eat me, well, it just depends. Are you the kind of zombie that's like the 90 days later zombie where you're...
Well, you wouldn't have a chance.
Fast as fuck.
That does happen.
Or are you the Walking Dead slow, like pathetic? Like,
yeah, I feel like...
And you walk in a herd You know what I'm saying? Because if you're the herd one, I'm taking you out.
Yeah, because if I'm coming at you fast, you're all fucked. Oh, yeah. Everybody in here is infected.
Dude, you just got to run.
I kind of feel like because of who you are, you're my friend, I don't want to kill you right away. I would probably let you try and bite me once.
You got to ask him a real like scientific question.
Yes,
you
know? Yes.
It depends on his answer.
I would quiz
I'll
you.
I'll kill you.
I would quiz you. Yeah. I would dodge you a little bit.
That's not what Sal would say.
But as soon as you literally tried to bite me, like aggressively tried to bite me, and it was certain you were trying to bite me, then I would stab you in the skull.
Wow. Yeah, for a bite?
Yeah, but I would wait for that. You, what the fuck are you doing trying to bite
me? Let somebody bite you?
Hold on a second. This is real life now. Okay.
Yeah, talking about real life.
This is a trick question, fucker.
Yeah, but do we know that the outbreak
zombies don't exist. Well, if listen, I lost my mind and tried to bite you, you would murder me?
You could be like
what if he did that? What if I tried to bite him and then he killed me and then the police come and he's like, he tried to bite me. They're like, so what?
Like, you're going to fucking jail. You could have just took antibiotics.
Oh, yeah. I would tell the police officers.
Like, he just exactly lost his mind. He's not a zombie.
Just turned into a zombie.
Yeah, I don't
he
know.
He was
man.
Turning into his eyes. I saved all of you.
He
that's
ate,
what I would say
he
to the
ate
officer.
Part of my forearm.
I saved all of you of the apocalypse because he was turning into one. I stabbed him in the skull before he got anybody else.
See, I'm the nicest guy.
I
would block
TV at that point. See, I don't know. I saw the signs and I killed him.
I would just lock you in the office, bro, and then fucking call the authorities. That's the kind of guy I am. And that's the kind of guy you're not.
Wow.
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah. Anyway,
how dare you put us in a trap? That was a trap.
If you want to learn some awesome information, you could check my Instagram out at Mind Pump Sal. You could check out Adam's handsome pictures at Mind Pump Adam.
And
you can watch Justin.
They only get awesome. They only get awesome information with you and handsome pictures.
I want to see where he goes with me. Go ahead.
You want to see some cool mobility?
You want to see some bad form? Go to Justin's.
Yeah, go look at all my bad mechanics when I do kettlebell swings.
At Mind Pump Justin, and you can also check out our awesome apparel at mindpumpmedia.com.
And don't forget, if you are 80 years old or the oldest person that will email Doug, will get a free shirt. I was serious about that. So.
Show the AARP card. I might take you to Denny's.
Oh, and don't forget, leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.